Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of January, and I'm recording at 9:40 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture audio. First, let's have a quick look at the week, and my goodness, what an inauspicious week it's been. At the beginning of the year, you know, you get Wall Street, according to some papers yesterday, seeing its weakest week at the start of a year for really quite some time. And it all ended rather badly in here today. What was interesting is that markets started off a little bit steady because they've got some short-term oversold conditions. The Chinese market was a little bit firmer, at least on the A shares. But then things just kept eroding. The only thing you can conclude from that is that the buyers are frightened to come back in, and the machines are among the shorts helping to push things down. Looking at what happened here today, well, lots of declines of over 1% all throughout Europe and the USA. UK down a little less, 0.7 of a percentage point. And the Asia-Pacific region was really quite good here today, following China's move, up nearly 1.97% on the Shanghai index. Okay. So, what's worrying investors so much? I think you don't want to try to make too big a list in here, because when you get a bearish environment in stock markets, as we certainly have right now, that every fear in the background is propelled to the fore, and people worry aplenty. But let's deal with the technical factors here, because they are always important. The trouble is, we have lost all the uptrends, all the uptrend consistency, I should say. And there are lots of tops around, and I'm talking about markets that have been in reasonably good form until the last few months. Take the United States, for instance. So lots of top formation activity is evident on the charts. Those U.S. indices are mostly above the big three. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are above the August lows. But it's hard to think that they won't have a good look at those same levels, at least, given that this week we've seen downward breaks from trading ranges that were below the year's earlier highs that had led to the August shakeout. So again, uptrends have been broken. A lot of topping activity, too many overall downward trends among the emerging markets, and also, not least, among the resources markets. They've been in a devastating bear market environment overall. So how's it all play out down here? Well, we are short-term oversold, but as I say, investors are clearly nervous, and it's hard to see what could cause the buyers to start coming back in, other than a bout of short covering, and I'm not sure what would trigger that. Despite the very oversold conditions that we see, at least in the short term. Now, one of the points I've been making repeatedly is that I felt that we would need to see two factors among all the different things that are worrying people. The three most important ones, in my opinion, are the Middle East situation, the China situation, and also the commodity situation. So let's take the Middle East situation first. Really, it looks, and I think predictably, it looks like a powder keg. It had a fragile stability previously due to very authoritarian regimes, due to big oil surpluses before mid-2014. Now that's now that the oil price has broken up, we're getting chaos, and we're getting some very rapid changes. It's a highly unstable area here right now, and hopefully these problems remain largely in the Middle East. Although there's no absolute certainty that that will be the case. But it's a big worry in terms of investors, and I don't really see a short-term solution to any of that. A significant rally in oil. What's a significant rally? Well, you get OPEC pulling itself together, possibly even bringing Russia in, and getting some cutbacks. You could see a recovery, short-covering lead recovery, taking WTI and Brent crude back up to the $60 region. But you know that it's going to be very difficult to get that agreement here, given all the military action, acrimonious struggle that's going on. It's going to happen at some point, but is it going to happen next week? Well, there's an interesting meeting in the Middle East on Saturday, but I won't hold my breath on this. But it will happen at some stage because it's a logical conclusion and something they need to do, and will eventually do. Now take the China situation. I'm hoping that that's actually the least serious problem that we actually have on the stage today. In saying I'm hoping that it is, it's hard to really be precisely sure in terms of what's actually going on in China. We know about this transition from a manufacturing economy to more of a consumer-led growth model, and that isn't done all that easily or smoothly. It's a positive step overall, but in the meantime, this week at any rate, people have been freaking out over the kind of ham-fisted intervention that we've actually seen from China, and it's not the first time we've seen that kind of problem, and I think we were getting that last August as well. And China's economy has clearly weakened. That's maybe not all that surprising in the global context, but it was almost taken for granted a couple of years ago that China would go on importing more and more of all these commodities, more or less forever, in line with its reasonably rapid rate of GDP growth. Well, China will still remain a huge importer and consumer of commodities overall, but the demand is not so strong as people had actually hoped. But the even bigger problem is that the supply is very, very high. So confidence regarding China and its ability to handle this situation and to prevent a further burn rate as money flees the country and the renminbi weakens, that's causing plenty of concern. And I don't know if that situation is going to be turned around on a meaningful basis in the short term. The third factor that I mentioned here is the weakness of all of these commodity markets. Again, that's related to China, and again, it's also a supply problem. So it's related most of all to just enormous production of these resources. That's about 80 to 90% of it, in my opinion, and I've seen others who have some similar ballpark statistics of that variety. Well, why is there so much production? One, because people thought that China was going to consume more and that the global economic recovery would be a little bit faster. But the big factor is that it's been easier to produce all of these resources thanks to technological advantages. And countries and companies geared up using the new technologies and produced ever more. And we have only seen the most tentative of actual cutbacks so far. So this looks like just another very, or perhaps even more dramatic, I would say it definitely is an even more dramatic example of the commodity market bear trend that we have seen in the, for this cyclical sector. And until we start getting some meaningful production cutbacks, we're unlikely to see a significant rally. So I have been saying in audios and worrying that we might not see a really good recovery in stock markets until we saw a meaningful rebound in these very, very depressed commodity prices. It will happen because too many people are losing money, they are losing money down here at these prices. Brent crude today down another 46 cents, 33.29. The WTI also very weak, down 41 cents, 32.86. And these are for light sweet crude. So there's plenty of petroleum that is selling for less than these prices, down into the $20 region. So it's hit all producers extremely hard. So that can't go on indefinitely here. And we're down in this in a trough, but we do not yet have the catalyst in the form of supply cutbacks to produce the rally that lies ahead. I hope it's in the first half of the year rather than the second half of the year. And my goodness, you know, it's only the 8th of January, but it already feels like a fairly long year to some of us. Okay. So what else is going on here? And bond markets, bond investors can understandably feel fairly snug, at least if they're not in the high-risk bonds, but are in U.S. Treasuries, for instance. Yield is eased further, not surprisingly, today, down to 2.115% on the 10-year. And the VIX index, which, of course, reveals market sentiment, has deteriorated sharply, rose another 2 points in here today to 27.01. and looking at, I think I mentioned the, I know I mentioned the oil prices, looking at the others, these other commodities in here today, precious metals, well, silver, which had had a good day yesterday, but gave it all up here today, down 41 cents at $13.93. And palladium, not much changed, a fraction higher, $495. Platinum, a little bit firmer, $3.30, 880.80. And gold here at down nearly $5 at $1,104. Agricultural commodities mixed, white sugar down quite sharply in that mixed background. Grains are a little bit steadier here today. So, what has to happen? Breaks and downtrends, supply cutbacks in or get supply cutbacks in commodities first, lift those commodity prices, get stock markets rallying so they break overall downward trends. But in the meantime, we're in a fragile environment here with sentiment still deteriorating, and it's a little bit too soon to say that it's over. Now, what about the currency markets? Always interesting. Chinese renminbi, very weak. The dollar, U.S. dollar, got up to 99.183 earlier here today. But then slipped back a little bit. It's still slightly higher on the day, but it's the dollar index is at 98.389. I'm convinced we saw intervention on the part of the Fed, part of the U.S. Treasury on behalf of the Fed yesterday. That will never be announced, of course, but that even the Fed's notes indicate that that was among their biggest two concerns. I think China was the other one that was worrying the Fed quite a bit. And also in the European region, the migrant crisis is a really contentious issue. That's not helping sentiment at all. What the biggest disappointment as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you have to, when the charts deteriorate, only a fool is going to ignore those. But just prior to this happening, I was hopeful, as you know, that favorable sentiment at this time of year would support markets. Well, it's been it's been just the opposite. Favorable sentiment has meant nothing in this environment so far. Nevertheless, we'll still be in that historically favorable sentiment period right in into May. Okay, looking further ahead here, I'm among, this service, Owen and I are among a number of people who've talked about a choppy environment overall, although I'm not sure we actually had as much extreme volatility in that choppy action as we're actually seeing in here right now. Well, it's always worse when you live through it, isn't it? You look at the charts after a few years and it all seems rather orderly, but It's nothing of the kind, of course, when you're actually living through it. What happens on the medium to longer term basis? Well, first, I think we had a difficult year in 2015. We've lost all the uptrends. That certainly won't for stock markets. That certainly will not help. So I would be reluctant to forecast anything other than a choppy environment, for continued choppy environment this year over at least the short to medium term. And I think looking ahead on a longer term basis, once we get a little bit of a recovery in that crude price, go back to that $60 level that I had been mentioning, that will not cause any serious problems in the oil importing countries, but it will stem the crisis somewhat in a number of the oil producing countries. And then I think once we get that type of stabilization, then I think that the markets are likely to concentrate more on the overall benefits. Currently, they're not concentrating on the benefits that affect consumers because there's too much chaos created among the producing countries here overall, leading to the Middle East turmoil, which I was talking about earlier on, leading to the instability that we're seeing or deterioration, sharp deterioration, certainly in the Russian economy. On a longer term basis, I think we'll have a more optimistic environment overall. The further you look into the future, the more you're dealing in guesswork. But looking at long term cycles following very choppy years, such as we've seen really since 2000. I'll go back to the late 1960s and the 1970s, another similar period before markets finally began to take off in 1981. So over the longer term, and I think before the end of this decade, we will certainly be in a stronger environment overall, and the justification for that forecast, or the reasons to underpin that forecast, I believe, are technical innovation, which is a disruptor to some extent, not least in terms of commodity markets, as we've actually seen, but the process of mechanization, which makes companies much more efficient, has got to be a good thing for stock markets overall. And I think that will be a driver of a longer secular bull market once we get beyond this choppy adjustment period and normalization. We've only just begun the normalization of interest rates. That's going to continue. And the technological advantages will keep resources prices low enough generally. The only exceptions would be in agricultural commodity prices, where bad weather problems hit supply. But overall, the world will be in producing more commodities quite efficiently than ever before, helping to keep prices lower. That will be good for global GDP growth. I think we'll see an increase in the middle classes throughout the world, which will also boost GDP growth. Corporate autonomies should be doing very well in that environment. Those are, of course, the big multinational companies. The U.S. has the largest number of corporate autonomies, but many countries have their own have their own corporate autonomies. But U.S. with most of them. But the risk for the U.S. is if the dollar does go up. I think the Fed will do everything in its power with the U.S. Treasury to keep that from happening in terms of any near-term strong surge to the upside. But on a longer-term basis, I think we will see a stronger U.S. dollar. And on that note, well, say it's been a tough week. You certainly want to have a great weekend. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.